saying deliberate or not, but I'd like to have a figure what it is for the rehabilitation of mine. And then if I could just get my notes somewhere. There was another issue, Mr. Chair. Sorry, I'm a bit... I got it. The amendment bill, you said, will be before Parliament by the end of the year. There are, of course, serious issues concerning the amendment bill. I think one of the issues which has caused damage to the reputation of the department is undoubtedly the ICT Kumba matter, because it has given to an unknown entity, totally unknown, with no assets or very little assets, no financial inherently no financial capability, no technical ability, given a quarter, 26% of the Sishen iron ore mine to that entity. So that is something which you will need to have rectified within that amendment bill, because if that is the way which the department continues to allocate licenses to an entity which is totally unknown, no financial capability, no technical capability, you are looking for, you're discrediting the whole process. And I think that's what the point is, the bottom line of that process. That's one issue, and the amendment bill will it be kind of seeking to address that position, but in particular, not a reversal, but in future. The AEMFC is a very important development. How is the funding to the AEMFC considered to be made? Is it going to come from the IDC? Is it going to come from? Well, it can't come from the Central Energy Fund because it came to be hired off as an independent company. So it will have to come either from the IDC or the PIC or government itself. So there's a whole funding mechanism which needs to be investigated to establish where the AEMFC is going to get their money from. Because we're talking of mining in terms of hundreds of millions, if not billions of rands, not tens of millions of rands. So that's the other issue. And then where has the money come from to thus far regarding the Vlakfontein, I think it is, Vlakfontein, just outside... where was it? In Mpumalanga somewhere. Sorry? There's Urgit, just outside Urgit. Where does that funding come from? Because that is just as... it would be interesting to know where that funding has emanated from. Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Thank you, Chairperson. Mine, I think it's more an issue of saying the presentations are very much appreciated, and you can see the difference of where they come from and where they are presently. There's a lot of work and challenges to be done, which I think as a committee we should support, because the challenges are vast. But a few issues I'd like to mention are mainly relating to... You've mentioned a few things, the FSM strategies, the relationship of yourselves with MinTech and Geosciences in terms of the rehab program of action. There's the issue on the revenue management systems, the electronic systems. Chairperson, I'd like to know if perhaps we could have an opportunity where we do meet with DMR on these, as much as they presented the strategies to us, but at least get a clear understanding of the implementation processes to that, because they keep on mentioning that it's issues that have to be implemented. But the details thereof are not really there. I think there's models here and there that have to come up. There's bills that have to come up, which I would think summarize the gist of what we need to look at going forward in terms of progress within DMR. If those can actually be given a particular platform so that we can get a sense of progress and how far are we in terms of the very bills that are apparently either to be put in front of cabinet or already put, so that we ourselves can have our own inputs in forms of debate. Then the other issue is the issue of, I'm not so sure if, I'd like to know if this SAMRAD, the online system, if it has any relationship with the said ICT developments that you presented, if there's any relationship between the two of them, and how related are you in terms of what is called an information financial management system by Public Service and Administration, how related a National Treasury, how related are you to the developments of that system in terms of having an improved system within your financial management system, as well as, in fact, your human resources as a whole. Then the other issue, Chair, in terms of, it seems to be a repeated problem, this issue of them being able to retain or reduce their staff turnover, even in terms of vacancies. Even there, it would be interesting to know what exactly are you saying are you doing in terms of making efforts or putting in effort in ensuring that you are actually ensuring staff retention, or you are attracting the so-called youngsters to mining in terms of them actually acquiring the jobs. And what exactly are the challenges related to that? Is it in terms of their salary, in terms of them not having enough money to complete studies or whatever? Because I think at some stage you even mentioned that there's a high failure rate in one of the areas of training that you would particularly need attention. What type of assistance is being, what strategy exactly is being put in place to ensure that there's a turnaround in terms of ensuring that there's an improvement in that area? Then the acid mine drainage works, Chair. I think we've mentioned it before as well, that it does look like, in honesty, as far as DMR has tried to explain to us what their role is, it does appear that there is already progress being made in terms of water and environment. And we'll need to have a platform there as well in terms of us coordinating information so that we know exactly where we are. Is there an improvement? What are the financial implications there too? Who's playing what role, and where do they actually coordinate and deal with cross-cutting issues for our own sake to be able to see that we are moving forward, rather than constantly hearing complaints from the public and us taking them up and wanting to react on that, whereas we don't have the gist of the solution. And then, Chair, the one thing is that there was an indication that you also still experience, in terms of your supply chain management, it does look that like there is a problem also of payouts within 30 days. Is there perhaps a gap in terms of legislation to that? Because I don't understand why it's a recurring problem. This is not the only department, of course. It's emanating even in other departments. But I don't understand, if your PFMA is in place, what is the issue there around supply chain that payments cannot be done within 30 days? Because I think that is not an excuse that we should carry on with to say that we keep on accepting and hearing about it. And your implementation process is, what exactly are you intending to do if legislation is put in place and people have to be paid out on time within the 30 days? What are the delays? What are the issues around that concerning the delays? And then the last feature, the program, the rehab program that you're coordinating with MINTEC and Geosciences for the rehabilitation of mines, I'd like to have an opportunity or an indication as to what program is put in place, a detailed program that is put in place to indicate that you do talk to each other and you do assist each other. And that must also have a budget implication allocated to it, indicating as to what processes exactly are being. Because sometimes you get the feeling that the day of geoscience coming to you, geoscience goes into one direction. And the day MINTEC comes, MINTEC goes into another direction. Then DMR comes and claims that, no, you are somehow having a program together, and then the transfer of funds or whatever the case might be. Can we have an indication from some form of meeting that we might be having in the future to say that this is the program that we are carrying out, and it must be seen to be tapering off in a pyramid to ensure that we are actually reaching our goals or the objectives, the set objectives that you have mentioned here? Thank you, Chair.
Thank you very much, Honorable Khololo.
Thank you very much, Chair. Let me first thank the department for the is the responsibility of the mining houses themselves to train those miners who find themselves without jobs after mining. Let me go to the third one on the budget for SOMCO, Chairperson. Yeah, I see that SOMCO has been launched this year. Is it having a budget for this 2011-2012 financial year? If not, when is it going to be allocated? Maybe go to the fourth one, on the derelict and ownerless mines. I know that in this financial year you're going to be doing 12 mines. I just wanted to get as to how many mines have been rehabilitated up to so far. Because I know that in total you've got about 5,000 or 6,000. So how many have you done so far? And then on the SOMCO also, Chair, sorry, there is this, I heard that on the overview, strategic overview by the DG, that you are busy developing a model for the SOMCO. Are you also going to come to us here in Parliament maybe to assist on that development of SOMCO or that module is going to come from the department itself? And then lastly, it's on the mine that has been closed in Kumala. I'd be interested to know as to which mine is that has been closed down. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Chairperson. The first question I was covered actually is the same question as Honourable Schmidt asked about the rehabilitation budget amount. And second, I didn't go to that issue you said about the ceiling of the manhood shafts, and that you last year actually 908 the previous year, and you're projecting this new financial year 2011, contracted to the Council of Geoscience. Can you just give me an indication that the amount that you budget for this project with Geoscience? Thank you.
Thank you very much, Honourable Lucas.
Thank you, Mr. Chairperson. First of all, I must say to our DG here that we're going to try and reduce the weight on that cross that you carry. And I'm so happy to hear that you carry a cross, because the last time we spoke, it was different. I think a lot of the questions have been asked here. But what I must say, I'm very happy about the monitoring system with invoices and that. I think because it gives you a very early warning, and you'll be able to control it, and you know where you are. You don't have to wait for the last 3 months when you start spending, because then you spend recklessly and trying to just cover up. The two of my pet subjects is beneficiation and small-scale mining. I think the beneficiation, I'm beginning to dance to this tune that has been sung all the time. We need to get to some sort of say, where are we? We've got to make a beginning. We've got to start somewhere. One of the things that beneficiation is expensive for us now, because the people who have been beneficiating have started long ago. Machinery was cheaper, labor was cheaper. Now we're coming in at a time when it's expensive, all these things. But we've got to start somewhere. We have all the raw materials. Why do we have to send it somewhere else? We need to do something. I think we need to seriously sit down and say, this is where we're going to bite the bullet and go forward. We, unfortunately, 50 billion people, we can't consume what we make. We've got to depend on external markets, because we've got to export most of our stuff. Instead of exporting the raw material, let's try and export the finished product. And the small-scale mining, honestly, can't go a step forward because they cannot get a bankable document. I don't know what mechanisms we're going to put in place that we can secure, that we can help them go over that hurdle of prospecting to a mining right where there's a bankable document. I know at this very moment there are investors from other countries who are taking advantage of this opportunity and going to these small-scale miners and taking them for a ride. And taking them. And they don't do any work. They get it, they get their monies, they put it in the stock exchange, and there's no production. So we end up in the same place. I think we need to do something very serious about this. Job creation, it's come up very loud and clear that we have to do this. And if we don't do this in South Africa, we will never develop a middle class who is going to be able to spend. And that's where we will be making a turnaround. We'll live in John Dollar until we die. I think we need to do something very serious about this. Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Thank you very much, Honorable Soto.
Thank you, Chairperson. I want to thank the DG for that bold, frank, and direct to the point overview. It was a bold overview. In your words, relating to mine health and safety inspection. Say if mines cannot mine safely, they should not mine. Taken further, why wouldn't you have said if mines do not comply with the legislation, then they are not bound to mine? Because you fell short of saying that, then your branches made us to raise some questions, and let me follow my colleagues in amplifying some of the questions that have already been asked, because some I would want to ask them my own way. It's not going to be the first time that you would be applying punitive measures on those stakeholders that do not comply. You are saying you are going to enhance, and what does that mean? How further are you going to be taking that? Any examples? Further, you corporate services was talking about costs that managers need to be completing or doing. But thinking about this industry, one would want to ask, what skills are we focusing at? Because we somehow we were saying we are running this whole industry. There are scarce skills in it. Moving from corporate services, I would go to the CFO. I'm looking at slide 19, where you reduce fruitless, wasteful, and irregular expenditure, and there's a lot of reduction that you are talking about. If you look at that, you reduce and repeat audit findings of internal audit follow-up reports and all that, and also I think Honorable Member Bigani talked about a reduction somewhere. You reduce the number of assets disposed prior to the end of their lifespan, reduce. Now, one would want to raise the question, why reduce and not prevent? That's a go slow kind of thing. You don't want to deal with the thing. You want to go slowly in it. It must calm down. It must not stop. Why would you take that approach or that post-slow approach in dealing with matters of this seriousness? On program 3, another regulation, you are talking on your slide 6, you are talking about transforming the sector, the mineral sector, and you are going to have procurement workshops within the mining industry to promote compliance. I'm quite interested whether within the branch you have the capacity or you are going to outsource that capacity of running those workshops and all that. It's good, but one would want to know whether you're going to outsource that responsibility. It's two slides back. A bit. Let me leave these two slides at the back. Yeah, Chairperson, thank you very much. I think that's because I'll be repeating some of the questions that were asked by my colleagues. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Would you care to respond to those so far?
Thank you very much, Chairperson. Let me start with the last one. Whether we are going to outsource the conducting of this.
I want to see you carrying the cross.
Made of iron. I think the other one was made out of wood. This one is the heaviest. Now, the workshops that we are going to conduct are workshops that are designed to familiarize the stakeholders with the contents of our regulations. And it's not a matter that we can outsource. It's something that we'll have to go and do ourselves. So all these workshops are workshops that are going to be done by the department internally. We cannot outsource it. We have had problems with compliance because people don't understand the actual actual purport of the regulations and the policies. And the people who best understand these policies are the people who have formulated those policies, which are the government officials who implement them and apply them on a daily basis. So it is for that reason that we are having these workshops where we are sharing information with our stakeholders. So we are not going to outsource that. With regard to reduction rather than prevention or obliterate or whatever the word that one can use, you know, the problem, Honorable Chairperson, is that when you do your threat plan, you put first your wish. This is what I wish, and it's contained in your vision. But when you come now to the actual objectives and the business plans, mining engineers, your geologists, etc., etc. But once they come into the public service, they are required now to do things that are not trained for in terms of their education, because they now have to manage also people, they have to lead people, they have to do project management. So those are the kind of generic courses then that we force our managers to undergo. It's leadership and managerial courses, so that they can then be able to manage and project manage some of the issues that we're talking about. Regional offices, what is it? What role are they playing? You know, the regional offices are the main service centers of the department. That's why all the time when there is a dispute, the fingers will always point there. All applications get lodged at the regional offices. They are the first port of call when you lodge an application. So all applications are lodged at regional offices. They are the ones who then make a recommendation to the head office for the approval or refusal of those licenses. So they are the ones who are at the coalface of service delivery. They are the most important component of the department. Remember that we changed the MPRDA. We changed the law from the 1991 Act into the MPRDA. But what we did during that time, we didn't change the structure of the department accordingly so that it can fit with the now increased responsibilities of assessing and evaluating applications, because we added some other things now in the process of evaluation. Because in the past, you know, what they had to do is to see whether the application is meets two basic requirements: financial capability and technical capabilities. The issues of social and labor plan, etc., 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 were issues that were not part and parcel of their evaluation process. So the structure of the department, therefore, was left behind by the advancement of the legislation and the enhancement of responsibilities over these entities, which is why, Honorable Sonto, the fingers keep on pointing there. They are at the cold base of service delivery. So what we are now going to do, we are not curtailing their responsibilities. Because their responsibilities are provided for in the law. What is going to happen now? We are going to strengthen their capacity at regional level. Because in the past, these so-called regional managers were basically directors. And once the structure is led by a director, it therefore means that below that structure, it's not possible that you can have anything above a DD, a deputy director. And it goes down assistant director, it goes down to et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. So this is what now we want to seek to prevent. We want to elevate that responsibility of leadership of the branch to a chief director, so that the chief director below him or her can then have components like, for instance, the one that will be happening right now. Honorable Lucas, beneficiation, I agree fully with you. That beneficiation is one of the instruments that we can put in place in order to ensure the sustainability of the South African mining industry. You know, because when we are talking about mining, you are talking about an activity that entails a wasting resource. At some stage, it will come to an end. So what happens when the ore body has come to an end? Does that mean the end of mining in South Africa? It should not be. Because if we have beneficiation strategy in place, we can then be able to continue down the value chain even after we have exhausted our ore body in the earth. It is on that basis then that we are now, we have finalized it, by the way, the beneficiation strategy. It went also, it has already been to the interministerial committee, and it was at that committee where we had to go and consult with other departments on specific issues, and we completed that process on Friday last week. And it is for that reason then that once the cabinet convenes after elections, we intend tabling the beneficiation strategy for approval by cabinet. We don't want to delay it anymore. It is indeed complete in terms of content. And the process has been a very protracted one, because we had to interrogate each commodity out of the 10 selected commodities. We had to interrogate each value chain in respect of the 4 value chains that we've selected. And we had to consult on each commodity, and we had to consult on each value chain. So that's what has made this process also to be so much protracted. Compliance inspectorate, to whom will it be accountable? It will form part and parcel of the department. It will be accountable to the regional office. It will be answerable to the regional office, but accountable to the accounting officer of the Department of Mineral Resources, who then accounts in turn to Parliament. So that's how chain of accountability will continue. It will be as is right now. It won't change. Punitive measures, some of them include even the revoking of the license. And in some instances, there's some of money that can be imposed depending on the nature of the violation. Retrenchment of retrenched miners. That has to happen in terms of the social and labor plan. So it's something, therefore, that doesn't have to be conducted by the department. It's done by the companies. But now with this inspectorate, we will now be able to go and conduct inspections and see whether what the companies had included in their social and labor plan is indeed obtaining on the ground. So that's one of the things now that we'll be able to do, in which case we can then be able to compile reports, which reports we can then table to Parliament. Budget for SOMCO for this financial year. Unfortunately, I'll be talking about something that doesn't belong to me. So I really cannot say with authority where that budget comes from. Because remember, SOMCO is a subsidiary of the Central Energy Fund. And the Central Energy Fund is an entity resorting under the Department of Energy. And I don't think that, honorable members, it will be appropriate for me to speak on my on behalf of my colleague from Energy. I don't know as to where that budget comes from. But Central Energy Fund is a going concern. therefore I believe that all their subsidiaries that are operational are able to get the money from the holding company, but I'm not sure where it comes from. Sonko, right now the process is still within the executive. The executive will approve the modalities that we are working on. And in the normal course of our interaction with the legislature, we will then be able to interact with the with Parliament on that. But it's still being dealt with by the executive. The name of the company that was closed yesterday is Imbabala Colliery. Imbabala Colliery. It's in Emelo in Mpumalanga. Honorable Dikani, yes, will provide you with the opportunity. You see, because the issues you raised are basically the strategies, the beneficiation strategy, the small scale mine strategy, etc., etc. And those strategies have got their implementation plan ingrained in them. And when we now present them, we'll be able to, there will be that opportunity where we'll then interact with us on implementation plan. CFO will deal with the issues of SAMRAD and and the others. Honorable Schmidt, you know, I think let me start from the beginning. I agree with all the things that you said, except one very fundamental issue of principle here, which is basically the insinuation that if an entity is small and unknown, it cannot get the rights. It cannot be, because that is exactly the kind of mischief that the law seeks to address. Because remember that these entities are unknown for the fact that historically they were never involved in mining, not out of their own choice. And the South African society, out of its wisdom, has seen to it that they have to address that. They have to redress that. South Africa collectively have come to the conclusion that the exclusion of South African blacks and women from participating in mining historically was wrong, and therefore it has to be addressed. And by definition, those people will be unknown. If we then say that one of the objects of the Act is to advance people who are historically not allowed to participate in mining, it therefore means that we will always we'll keep on considering people who are unknown, because they can never be known if they never participated in mining. And I don't want to delve into the details of the ICT Kumba thing. It's in court right now, and we believe that the courts are well positioned to deal with that matter. But all what I can tell you is that I have got no fear that ICT met the granting criteria, notwithstanding the fact that they are unknown, and notwithstanding their size. They did meet the granting criteria. And that's why available for application. And therefore, the principle of first come, first serve will not apply to those. Those will be dealt with in a competitive bidding process, which will then allow people to apply for those water courses. And it will also assist in the process of transformation. Because if the agenda of transformation cannot be advanced because of the first come, first serve principle, the state has to intervene and ensure that somehow the objects of the act are attained. Indeed, we are currently working on the regulations. We intend that before June, the minister will have published for public comments those regulations, which will now regulate the manner in which those rights that were once granted are going to be dealt with going into the future. And that will then obviate the possibility of what happened then. But I must repeat that the established companies don't have the monopoly for being granted rights. With the signature of the charter, they also agreed that they have got their blood brothers who need also to be taken on board so that we can indeed transform the mining industry in South Africa. There are some questions related to the CFO. You will answer that. And some related to... on the basis of this
portion that is a transfer payment to MinTech, and the other portion is still sitting under goods and services, which is in relation to the planning work that we are doing internally, as well as using the council for geoscience. So it's, the budget is still there. The amount currently is sitting at, last year we had reported that we have about 50 million. I think it has just gone up to about 52. That's right.
I think, is there an outstanding question? Please, Adam.
On the Honorable Chair and Honorable Members, on the issue of I'll start with attraction and retention. This is mainly in the mine health and safety program, where we're experiencing a lot of problems with attraction and retention. And it's around the inspectorate, mainly the inspectors. The reason for that, in terms of attraction and also in terms of retention, is what is famously known as Resolution 3, where we cannot hire people at certain levels where the salaries will be attractive to the candidates, the incumbents. We have made an application to the DPSA to try and relax that for the DMR, and we still have not had any response from them. There was a promise that they will review Resolution 3 now in April, and we are awaiting that review. Hopefully there will be some relaxation around that. That has been the real main issue for us, for instance, to attract senior inspectors. Instead of them coming in at 12, which is an acceptable salary level for them, we cannot do so. They have to come in at 11. And for them to move on to 12, they have to stay a minimum of 12 years on salary, on level 11 for them to move to 12. That's the minimum. So we have those challenges in terms of, yes, we have those challenges, you know, in that area in terms of attraction and retention. But on the youth program, training programs that you alluded to, ma'am, we are reviewing the program as a whole, the training program as a whole. We have managed to get an agreement with the MQA to assist us with bursaries to attract the youth to come into our programs. But then the other problem that we have is that the youth think that the program is rather too long. It takes them 7 years for them to complete the program, and they tire along the way, basically. So we are reviewing that as well. As long as doctors here. We are reviewing that, because whilst they're training, they still get offers from the mine, from the industry, and then they leave, you know, the program, you know, midway. So we are also reviewing that area of our training. The failure rate that you also referred to, again, it's part of this training program. We're also reviewing that. So the examination part of everything will be under the reviewal of the program, the training program as a whole. Thank you.
Just on the issue of your organogram, during the introduction, some of the people who were acting are now, confirmed. Do you still have acting positions within DMR?
Yes. Can I? Yes. We have only two acting. We have three. We have three. And MPP acting. We promised that regulation and mental health and safety should be concluded by 20?
Yeah, this will be on the 24th.
Yes.
Yeah. Of May. Of May. Yes.
So the process should be
concluded. No, 18 May, 24th May. Oh, not after 12 years.
All right, thank you very much. Over to you, madam.
Thank you, Chairperson. On the question asked by Umambikani on the process between us, CJS, and Mintec on rehab, what we did, we said, while we are still responsible for the program and we oversee the program, for technical reasons and to beef up capacity issues, we then entered into a contract with Mintec where they do the actual physical technical implementation of the rehab work. And they report to DMR on a monthly basis, and when they complete projects, they submit closeout reports. But also during project initiation, implementation, and all that, we have officers, environmental officers, who go out to sites for inspections with Mintec officials, and they give they submit progress reports. So we monitor rehabilitation. It's just that we don't do the actual physical work, but we oversee, we manage, we monitor, and with the protocols that I referred to earlier on that we've developed, we've also built in an aspect of post-rehabilitation monitoring where we are saying post-rehabilitation, we want to monitor that site for a period of time, 6 to 12 months, to see that the topsoil isn't washed away, vegetation grows such that we won't have to go back and redo that work. So there is a clear process in place. And the similar process with CGS, where they do the research, feed into the planning part before Mintec then would come and do the actual physical work. And that reporting is intact and in place. And then on the question around the budget for sealing the shafts for water ingress control, based on figures last year, where it was around 200 to 20 to 35, depending on the size, depth, et cetera, of a shaft or a trench. We have done projections for 250 per site, but that's not actually, it's an estimate figure. As we speak, our officers, together with officials from CGS, are working on the actuals, because they have to consider a number of factors, what type of method are you going to use to seal that shaft, if it's going to be this big concrete block that we do, it's got different costs. If you use the foam, because there is a type of foam that is used, it's got different costs attached to it, the man hours and all of that and all of that, but the rough estimation we have said 250. Others will be a bit high, others will be a bit low, but that's the ballpark figure. So basically we've, on our projections, set aside 5 million rands to go towards that.
Thank you very much. Just on the onerous and derelict mines, the last time you were briefing us on the strategy and the action plan, there was also an indication that you would trace some of these owners, because they are, some of them are operating within the industry. How far have you been able to identify them, and have you broached the subject with them? Are they willing to make a contribution?
Thank you, Chairperson. Since the last time we were here, we have managed to trace about 98 in East Rand alone, and a majority of those are DRD, and we have approached them, and we are in the process of starting that engagement with them to say, can they own up and agree on a process and time frames for them to sort out certain things and put certain plans in place. And we've said we will do that within our framework for rehabilitation and the research on the management of ingress of water, so that we make sure that we go into that
think that takes care of this interaction. Suffice to say to the department that it is now evident that there is definitely a light at the end of the tunnel. We see and are registering quite serious progress made in a number of areas. Basically, you have crowned it by the announcement you have made, I think was it yesterday or the day before yesterday, in terms of the new system. I think that have sent quite clear messages that there are changes that are taking place within the department. You are preparing it to be user-friendly, whether you know you're a stakeholder in terms of being a producer or a stakeholder in terms of being a worker in the industry or a mining community. So at least it means that we are registering that kind of a progress. And as well, what I like very much is if you were sitting in during the public hearings on the mining charter, some of the very clear recommendations from communities were that there is no directorate within DMR that is responsible to ensure compliance on mining charter, on social and labor plan. Now, even before we could pass on that recommendation to you, you already are implementing. Maybe there was a spy somewhere in those public areas. But I think this will go a long way in terms of even ensuring that the operators within the industry are basically compliant, you know, with the law, because they would know that unannounced there will be people rocking up and checking on their records and on their operations. So we thank you very much for that direction. Honourable members, we are now going to be breaking until we return on the 23rd of May. Our first meeting is scheduled for the 25th of May, where we are going to be discussing this budget vote in details. That is?
We do the work, Mr. DG.
Now, all of us must be in the field to go and canvass votes. So, but on the 25th, we'll be discussing this budget vote. So, DG, you can send a delegation, but not not sizable as it had been today. It could be lesser, depending on yourselves, because we'll be deliberating over this budget vote 32 as a committee now, and then pronouncing our own position. With that, I would want to wish everybody a happy and holy Easter weekend, so that when we come back on the 23rd, we are renewed, both spiritually and...
What is the Holy Convening, Jefferson?
What is that?
Holy Convening.
Holy Convening.